figuring I was going to finish it this week, and I'm not going to finish it this week, so sorry about that. Colossians 1, the idea of this is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Okay, Colossians 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Numero uno. So we believe in speaking in tongues here. I don't use my ears when I speak, so. Colossians 1. Okay, remember when you read the Bible, you ask yourself, who's talking, or to whom is he talking, or at least who's writing, and to whom is he writing to? Colossians 1, they, in the Bible, wisely put their name in the front. We got to look to the bottom to see who it's coming from. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So Paul and Timothy. So that's the ones that's writing. Okay. To, so who are they writing? To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. So they've been praying for these folks since they heard about their faith in Christ, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before. How'd they start? They heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, that's the beginning, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth, notice, fruit, bringeth forth fruit. So that's a good thing, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, so that fellow went there to further their growth, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love. And notice the next prepositional phrase, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Okay, that's going to be a key idea. In the Spirit. Okay, remember the Spirit's like the wind. That's why a Christian's life is like the wind. And then it says, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Notice fruit and work are two separate terms. They have some similarities, but there are some unique differences. And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. Okay, so forth and so on. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this. Unfortunately, this has been a lost idea or confusing idea to many. And I pray we could help clear that up so that a person might bear some fruit for thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We read some of Colossians there. It's in the letter of the prison epistles. You have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians was the very first book that Paul wrote in his Christian life that God chose to put in the scriptures. Not obviously not his first letter, but the one that God chose to put in the scriptures, Galatians. The Lord chose to put Romans first, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians. Now, if you just look at an overview of all these letters, they provide a growth in grace. And they get smaller as you go through chronologically because of the lack of Christians that grow to the elevation of Titus and Philemon. Philemon is a servant of Christ. And you'll see the words elder and aged and those later epistles. You'll see the word children and babies in 1 Corinthians, because that's the growth it goes. So the Lord lays it out chronologically, but Galatians is the first one. It's his most zealous, his most passionate, because of a problem that often occurs after a person's newfound faith. And the problem in Galatians was the Judaizers. So they had their Judaizing rules and regulations to prove justification. Other denominations have different rules and regulations. Okay, they have a different list. And all of these are designed to, quote, prove a person is saved. When Jesus said people who are born of the Spirit are like the wind, so that's not something you could actually prove. Okay, and so, but how do we handle these things? Now, fruit and work, okay, are very similar terms, but there's slight variations in them. And Gentiles, we like to focus on work. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do this, do this, do that, do that, and then you're proven to me you're saved. But that's not true according to the Bible. Now, some of these regulations may or may not fall into the category of righteousness, and some of them are ultimate, you know, super righteousness. And so the idea is we want to try to understand this idea as we come through. So I'm going to need to use this to help us get a visual. And so it would kind of, you know, without my glasses, I might be able to see that better from here. That don't look too bad. Okay, and so we're going to look at this. We could use this right here that Brother Frank, did you put this up here? Or Frank Jr.? That's what I figured. Now, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I don't have that many words. So we got justification. If you would go to Romans 8 real quick, or take your time, or whatever you want to do, it don't matter to me. Okay, now the idea that I mentioned in the Spirit, okay, when does that start for a person? In the Spirit. In the Spirit, I'm not talking spooky stuff here. In the Spirit starts there. That's where it starts. Okay, the Lord wants us to walk in the Spirit here. Okay, now in Romans 8, Romans 6 through 8 is vital, but Romans 8 in particular, verse 29, this will be a quick overview. So in Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be saved. That's not what it said. You know, a slick thing that the devil does, he takes a Bible word and gives it the wrong definition. Okay, predestinate. Two, be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate to what? To be conformed. Them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay, now there, notice the two words, justification, it's a legal word, and glorification. What's missing? Anybody that's been saved for a long time, there's another word that's missing. Sanctification is here. Okay, that's what's missing. The guarantee of Romans 8 is if you are justified, you will be glorified. This is my destination. Okay, this is my destination, but I'm not there. That's why it's called a predestination. I'm not there yet. I'm going to be here someday because I was justified. Jesus said, if you're born again, you will see the kingdom of God. He said, if you're born of water and of the Spirit, you will enter the kingdom of God. This is something different. Sanctification. Okay? And so that's where we're living life here on this. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. He's not going to force us. In the Spirit. In Galatians, these are some verses I mentioned last week. In Galatians 3, 2, he says, "This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Okay, did you receive, born-again people, did you receive the Spirit by works? By faith. So you started with work, you started with faith. Okay, and so since you started with that, he says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Here's what happens in a lot of churches. They put works here. Of course, their list is different each place. They put that there, works there, when actually the right word is fruit. And that's not a guarantee either. That's not a guarantee. They expect it to be a guarantee, and then they make all these little theological changes. So in Galatians, if you would try there, go back and forth several of these places. If you're in Galatians, notice it says in verse 25, "If ye live in the Spirit," here we go, "if ye live in the Spirit," Galatians 5:25, I mentioned this last week. Of course, we remember, everybody who's here remembers everything I said last week. Right. I don't remember what I said. If we live in the Spirit, how do we get that? If we live in the Spirit, this is what we have. This is where it starts. "Let us also walk in the Spirit." This is dealing with our walk. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," believe, "so walk in him." But what churches do is they shift it to works. That's what they do. And I don't blame them. I understand. Because a person would like to see, some fruit or some possible works. Now, being in the Spirit. Okay, and back in Romans 8, verse 9. Now, when the Bible says in the Spirit, it's not talking spooky stuff. It's not talking, all this type of stuff. It's a mindset. Okay? It's a mindset where we live in a visible world, but we're conscious of the invisible world. Try to be conscious of that at all times. We're living in this. The invisible world is right here, side by side. If you and I were all given eyes and we see the invisible world, we might see a few devils in here. It might be on his shoulder. Might be on me. You see, that's the spiritual world. It's every, when you go to the grocery store, you see a flesh and blood person, but he might have 10 of them little devils on him. And a couple might fly off of him and jump on you for a while. This is the invisible world. So this is how this idea, it's a constant thing, like you're driving, where you're constantly moving. In Romans 8, 9, he says, "But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Now, I've got flesh, but I'm also in the Spirit. Then he says, "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, if any man have not Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you got, if you're in the Spirit, a person's saved. And they're going to be glorified. Guaranteed. New Testament doctrine. Okay, but a person in the Spirit may not walk in the Spirit. Okay, and we want to, we should, but a lot of times you don't. You see, your value with God is based upon your identity. Your value with God is based upon your identity. You're here, you are valuable to God. You're in the family. Your value with man is based upon what you do for them. Same thing goes on in churches. Preachers will have a first class and a second class. Some of it starts at that church membership. Got to be a member of my church. First class, second class. Even though the Bible doesn't say anything about that. That's a made up idea. Okay, and so you have live in the Spirit. Our destination is here. The Lord's going to take care of this. This is our responsibility right there. Do we walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit. Okay, now our joy comes from here. I'm in the family. Oh, I'm so glad to be in the family. That's where the joy starts. And this is birth, okay? A lot of terms go along with this is birth. Okay, this is growth. Two separate things. Now, Arminians get all confused on these things. That's normal because of failure to rightly divide. Okay, and a believer should seek to walk with God. Should. Will they? Well, we hope so. How does one allow the faith of Christ to flow through the believer in order to be sanctified? That's where I left off last week. Okay, so, okay, as I mentioned, chronologically in the Bible, Romans is the first letter that Paul wrote that God put in Scripture. Get Romans, 1 Corinthians. Now, in Romans, if you step back and look at the scenic view instead of going verse by verse, which we do that, but sometimes you got to step back and look at the scenic view. In Romans 1:16, Paul mentions the gospel of Jesus Christ. To those who believe in his baptized? No, believe. Believe. And then in verse 18, he shifts to man, where man is under the wrath of God. Romans 1:18 all the way to 3:19. All that is about man's under the wrath of God. Romans 3:20, he shifts. What's the solution? What is the remedy from being under the wrath of God? That's the remedy. That's the birth, being born again. So that runs from Romans 3:20 all the way to end of chapter 5. This is all about 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Inner peace. Man, it's a joy to have that inner peace. Okay, then chapter 6 shifts to this. 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, and 8. And in 8:16, he introduced an idea. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But when you read the Bible all from Genesis, you'll see children of Israel, children of Israel, children of Israel, children of Israel, all the way through there. And so this is why if you ask the average Christian, who are the people of God? Who are the children of God? They'll say, Israel. And that's generally true. Okay? But then in Romans 8, he mentions children. And so it's like, who is this? Who is this children of God? So in Romans 9, 10, 11, he shifts to Israel. And he answers that question about Israel. Three chapters he deals with Israel. Israel, Israel. And then he comes back to the children of God in Romans 12. These are well-known verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg you, I plead with you, I appeal to you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice, that is a reasonable request. That's not unreasonable. The Lord tells us to pray to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Some people you just can't reason with. And boy, is it getting bad. Okay, and so then he says, okay, what's reasonable? And be not conformed to this world. Boy, the pressure that is put on this person here in this area, the pressure is amazing. The pressure put on young people today, I mean, young people that may be homeschooled, maybe raised in a Christian school, get out in the world and start working in the world, you know, getting a job, getting amongst, rubbing shoulders with the world. The pressure they put on young people today is unfair. But the world don't play fair. I mean, today, what are they dealing with? Am I a boy? Am I a girl? In my day, that was a no-brainer. Any electrician knows you got a male outlet and a female, and any plumber knows you got a male connector and a female connector. And I went to the plumber place down to get some plumbing supplies and rental talk, and I asked the guy, do you have any transgender outlets? I'm not sure if I need a male or a female, and he just looked at me and laughed. I mean, anybody got that? But the pressure put on young people today. Parents, we need to be begging God to help our kids. Okay, and we need to have mercy on them when they fail. I didn't say if they fail. When they fail. Because we're all going to mess up. It's like the wind. We're like the wind. Okay, and it's a constant movement here. So in chapter 12, he mentions that we ought to seek the will of God. Okay, now back to this idea. Let me give you some verification on this. If you would go to Acts 20, verse 32, and follow the wording very precisely. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So this is a lot of times when people are loose with the words, that's where they mess up. Acts 20, 32, this is Paul's farewell address to the church of Ephesus. He had been around there for a little while, and he's got to take off. He's got to move on. Acts 20, 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So what builds us up, you know, to stand against the world is, well, obviously the word of God. Okay, and that's why there's such a strong attack against it. Okay, the word of God, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are justified. Do the people who are justified get an inheritance? No, the ones who are sanctified. Okay, the inheritance is something to be earned. You're born into the family, and inheritance is optional. And that's depending on sanctification. You'll see that it's connected with sanctification. Try another one, Acts 26. This is Paul's second time he gives his testimony in a courtroom setting. And Acts 26, verse 18, he summarizes his ministry down to a fivefold aspect of it. And the first one is Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes. You know, the greatest prayer you can pray for yourself and your loved one, be they saved, be they lost, it doesn't matter. The greatest prayer that you can pray is, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The world's blind. They're blind. Christians are blind. In Laodicea, it says the church is blind. Christians are blind. They may have opened their eyes on salvation, but boy, right after that, the devil gets them shut again. First thing, open thou mine eyes. Next thing, to turn them from darkness to light. Next thing, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. What's that? Justification, comma, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Not works. Why is it a church does works, do this, do that, do this, do this, jump through all these hoops? It's a way of controlling people. And then a person will look at themselves and say, man, I don't even match up to this. I can't even match up. What's the use? Hey, you're in the family. That's good enough. And if you start bearing some fruit for the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay? And so the born-again believers like this, like the wind, Jesus said. If you would, try Ephesians. Okay, so the Christian life is a lot like driving or traveling. Depends if you're getting paid or if you're not. Driving or traveling. And it's constant adjustments. You can't trust anybody, especially if you're on a bike, motorcycle, Goldwing. Okay, if you're on that, man, you can't trust anybody. Okay, and so you're constantly adjusting, making adjustments. So in a Christian life, throughout your day, you might handle this situation right, and you might handle the next one wrong. And this one right, maybe this one wrong. Maybe right, and messed up here. And then you come home and you're really messed up. That's the wind. You see, it's a constant like this. Ephesians 4, if you run down 11, 12, you've got the church. What's the purpose of the church? Verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And boy, oh, the church is so unified. It's so wonderful, isn't it? You can just feel it everywhere you go. Oh, we're in great unity. Okay, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. What are children doing? Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. See, this is why the Spirit of God is referred to as the wind. Jesus said at John 3:8, people who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. Okay, and so that's what our life is like, where we'll be, if you fail this day, if you messed up a couple times this day, okay, well, hey, you got a death at night, you go to bed, you get a resurrection in the morning, you got a new day, new start. And so that's the beauty of the Lord. Okay, so what is sandwiched between this justification and glorification? That's what's sandwiched in there, and that'll be Romans 6, 7, and 8. So, and when you read what Paul writes in Romans 6, 7, 8, you'll see that there's a struggle. Why? Because we've got the three basic enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, the devil, maybe his cohorts, okay, I don't think he's even messed with me. The devil don't make me to do anything. He's too busy in the next revision committee trying to cast out in a word. Okay. And maybe at the United Nations or United Nuts. And so the world is a constant problem. Everywhere you go, they're trying to cram their stuff down our throats, aren't they? Always. And young people, they're trying to cram it, and they got it on your cell phone. You know? And they're forcing it. And even if you put all the blockers in there, here comes around another one. Always gonna cram it down our throat. Got a bunch of perverts running it, and they gotta pervert everybody else. Okay, and then you got everywhere I go, I find me, my flesh. Boy, am I a rascal! A lot of times, you just look in the mirror and say, "You're a rascal." And so and this is Paul even said this in chapter 7. He goes back and forth in chapter 6 of Romans. If we follow the wording. Chapter 6. You know, one time I was in the county jail, and this one guy, he's a Pentecostal. I always found it very interesting that the Pentecostals argue against eternal security. To me, outside the bars, they're inside the bars. I would have thought we would switch over here. But one of them asked about speaking in tongues, and he talked about his grandmother, how much he admired her, and I could see where this was going. Oh, boy. And so all I did was I just turned to one passage and I stepped back from the bars a little bit and I held the Bible up to the bars and said, "You read it." And when he read that, the Lord enlightened him. He got so mad he tried reaching through the bars to grab me and all this stuff. But you know, what a problem these people have with the book. He got enlightened that day. Okay, but they're always arguing about this. But in Romans 6, verse 4, I read this one last week, and we'll just hit the highlights of what we did last week. At the end of the verse, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Yeah, that's this area. Newness of life. We should. That's right, we should. And then verse 6, at the end of the verse, again, just hitting highlight parts, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Do a lot of Christians serve sin? Oh, yeah, they do. But they shouldn't. They shouldn't. And in chapter 7, verse 4, again, just reading the highlight parts here. At the end of the verse, we should bring forth fruit unto God. Hebrew or Romans 7:6. So we've got 6:4, 6:6, 7:4, 7:6. At the end of 7:6 or in the middle, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. Yes, we should. How do we do this? What is the key in all of this? This should. Well, in Romans 12, remember. In Romans 8, he said, if you're justified, you will be glorified. And so he says he wants you to be sanctified, yield to the Spirit of God, believe in the Spirit, believe in the Scriptures, and that will aid you with this. And then And then he said, you children of God. And then in Romans 12, he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you got newness, and then you've got renew. Renew what? Mind. Got to rethink. We got to stop and think about things. You see, animals live by instinct. And so we should live above that. We should think. Should think. And so I'll give you some scripture for this one. Okay, this is an everyday thing, renewing our mind. Okay, in Romans 12, that was the one where he mentioned it. Transformed by the renewing of our mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Okay, a lot of people who say they're not conformed to this world, they may have separation, but they haven't renewed their mind. You got to have that renewing of the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So he says in, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. Where do we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ. Then 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Okay, you may start noticing that at 40. You know. Somebody really got me one time. They said, I know you're on the level. Really? Yeah, the bubble's in the middle. I said, come on, I didn't think I was showing that much. Jan and I, about a month ago, wrote on our little board, you know, lose 15 pounds. Both of us, we're going to help each other, and we're still, you know, I think we're maybe 14.78 pounds. Boy, when you get up in this age, it kind of makes it tougher. Okay? The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is what? Day by day. That's why each of us have to personally be renewing our mind. Okay, how about Ephesians 4:22? So we're going to work on this renewing our mind, Lord willing, next week. I was hoping I'd get it done, but I just got to lay this foundation of all this stuff. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Put that off. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the Spirit. Again, we got that idea, in the Spirit. We got in the Spirit here. He wants us to walk in the Spirit here. And that will make this so much better. I mean, that's going to be good enough. Good, pretty good, but you could even make it better. So he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put off, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, and notice, true holiness. That seems redundant. True holiness. It's almost like wet water. That implies there's a false holiness. The false holiness is what majority use to keep people in bondage. That's what it is. That's what it's done. It's designed to do. I don't think the ones that promote this, in their mind, they say to themselves, let's do this because we can keep people in bondage. But there's a spirit that leads them. That spirit knows that. And this will gravitate right into the home, into the family. It will gravitate right into the marriage relationship between husband and wife. Where here, we get value here by our identity, but this, you get value by your performance. And this is why us older folks that have adult children, we need to pray for our children, okay? We don't need to interfere in their lives unless they ask us for advice. When we pray for them, we love them in spite of if they mess up. Why? Because we love them for their identity. We do want their performance to be right. And we rejoice when it is. And we pray when it's not. Okay, and so that's Ephesians. He in Colossians 3:10, he put it in one verse, where Ephesians took three verses to say the same idea. In Colossians 3:10, he put it in one verse. And he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed every day. Renewed. It's like your cell phone, the battery, you got to plug it in. Your time, your daily time of reading this book is plugging in. And if you don't plug in, or if you doubt what you're plugging in, that's why the attack on this book. Okay, and so then one more verse, Titus 2 or 3. Titus 3. So we'll work on this renewing of the mind. In Romans, he talks about a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. And there's a contrast, carnal mind and a spiritual mind. So in Titus 3, 4, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Man, we got an amazing God. Amen. All pagan gods are mad all the time. And the vast majority of them are sexual predators. They really are. Zeus, Apollo, Adidas, Nike, Pan, the god Pan. Okay, they're all predators. You know, Thor, Ra. Ra is the one you hear at the ball games. Ra, Ra, Ra. You know, people always bragging about their God, unbeknownst to them. Okay, the God of the Bible is anger can be appeased by Jesus Christ. Okay, and then when you get accepted in the beloved, man, there's nothing better than that. Accepted in the beloved. Now, what we can do for the Lord and offer fruit, you say, offer fruit for Him. Then it'll be a blessing to the Lord and to us. Titus 3, verse 4. After the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness. See that? Not by works of righteousness. That's over here. But which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace. Notice, should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, the gift of eternal life, but there's an inheritance that comes with it. And the Lord wants that. This is the will of God for everybody on earth, every single body. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, He said, who will have all men to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's will for a person to be justified and to be sanctified. And this is automatic once you're justified. What a glorious book we have. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to, each and every one of us, to see it is reasonable that You tell us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's reasonable. There's nothing unreasonable about that. And the love of Christ constraineth us, that He which died for all, okay, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to be people that try to renew our mind every single day, and possibly, hopefully, we can kind of get this down to earth next week and really grasp the idea of it so that we can bear some fruit for Thee. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you don't know you have eternal life, please, please, please make sure of that. You could ask anybody. If you don't know, ask anybody and they'll bring you to the right person if necessary. But believers in Jesus Christ, we should we should seek to bear fruit for the Lord. Young people, I know you're under great pressure. Unbelievable pressure. Your parents and the older generation here, we're for you. And we're here for you. And we know that you're going to mess up. We know that wind of doctrine is going to get you at times, just as it's gotten us. And just be faithful to the Lord. Seek that. And when a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, just get back up. Just get back up. Get back up. Lord, I do thank you for this enlightening. I pray enlightenment of your word. Help us to see, as Paul said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.